Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday, January the 12th, 2026. New Year. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say in regard to anything we talked about in hour number one, feel free to buzz in. I don't know. We talked a lot in the first hour about tonight's first full city council meeting of the year with the new city council members, the three new city council members. Now, I'm not sure what will come of that meeting. I guess we'll all have to find out. But there's this special meeting at 5:30 tonight in which the auditor, I thought, was supposed to have some kind of presentation in regard to the city's payroll system. But apparently, according to the Marion Star, that's not what she's doing. And I don't even think she's allowed to talk about what's going on with the state auditor and the state audit, because the meeting was called about the payroll system. Although, that's not what the Marion Star says. So again, more confusion out of City Hall. Now there's a shock. As we're into year three, confusion out of City Hall. I don't even quite understand why it's so hard to get information correct coming out of City Hall, and exactly what they're I don't even know what they're talking about half the time. To be honest with you, they say one thing and do another, and they should be wise enough after 3 years to understand that you can't do that. That people are going to be confused. I just don't understand. And again, let me make very clear, I'm not saying that the auditor is doing a great job. I think she has said there are problems there. But I don't understand why everybody else down there is not able to have a conversation with her or anybody else. Why they're not able to elucidate their thoughts very well to media outlets. I don't understand it. You know, if it was me and I had some kind of information that was not out in the public square, I'd be jumping over people to tell people about it. These people seem, let's keep it as quiet as we can. I don't understand that. You know what? The cat's out of the bag. We know the finances are in bad shape. And we know the state auditor is looking at what's going on in Marion. So I don't know. And payroll screwed up and everything else. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And by the way, again, cite me another administration, mayoral administration, in the history of this city that has had issues like this. If anybody can point to them, I would like to hear it. So, you know, here we are. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. Now, well, do we want to get into this thing that happened in Minneapolis? You know, last time we got into it last week, it got a little rough here on the program. I guess clearly it drew protesters, not many, 40 apparently, to the Harding Memorial. But where are we with all this, I guess, is the problem. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I just want to say about the special meeting tonight.
Yes.
at 5:30? Is public allowed to that?
Yes, yes, they should be allowed to attend that, yes.
Great, that's where I'm find out. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for listening and calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, yes, the meeting at 5:30 tonight, the public should be allowed to attend that meeting as well as the 6:30 council meeting. It should be open to the public. It's not a private meeting. So, again, I wish I could tell you what the meeting was going to be about. Last week, the meeting was called to talk about the payroll system. But apparently, if you read the Marion Star, if you got past the paywall, I guess it's about the city's plan with the state auditor. Which, again, when you look at this whole thing, I'm not really even sure how they can force the auditor to give these presentations anyway. I don't know. It's all a little strange. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on anything, and we can discuss it. It's always good to talk to people out there in the listening audience, and I do think of this as the town hall of the airwaves. We don't screen the calls. Anybody can say what they want, and more opinions are certainly welcome. 740-383-9944, but yes, the 5:30 meeting tonight should be open to the public, as well as the 6:30 meeting. Let's see. The shooting in Minneapolis. Okay, well, apparently people like to talk about this. We had the protest here in Marion, which apparently garnered about 40 people at the Harding Memorial this past Saturday afternoon, I guess it was. But I guess people like to talk about it on social media when it went up on the Marion Star social media page. Okay, what is the problem here? Okay, I've looked at these camera angles, and trust me, maybe I don't see what people are seeing with the ICE agents and this woman. No, I think sometimes in this conversation, things are being overlooked. Now, should the woman have driven away from them? No, I don't think she should have. I mean, I matter of fact, she probably should have been arrested for that. I don't know why she drove away like that. I don't know what was going through her mind. I don't know if it was, I know she wasn't very happy with ICE being in the neighborhood. I understand that, but you should not do that. Absolutely not. And I'm not saying that she should have driven away like that. But the idea that she was trying to run over a police officer, I don't see that. I'm sorry, I just don't. I'm reporting what I see. Now, maybe your eyes see something different, but in any video I've ever seen of anybody trying to run somebody over, and there are other videos out there of people trying to run people over, I've never seen somebody at a complete stop throw their car in reverse. If you are trying to run somebody over in front of you, why did you back up? I mean, that's the story right there. You can look at it from 75 different angles. I don't understand why you backed up. Now, should she have tried to leave? No, I don't think that was a good idea. But I don't think law enforcement is supposed to shoot you when you're trying to leave if they have not come up with some crime that you are committing. They should have followed her, maybe set up a blockade, got on their walkie-talkies and said, hey, this lady just left us. And I'm not really sure why the guy was standing in front of the car. And what Why did they have her stop to begin with? I don't understand. What was the suspicion that she was doing something wrong? Go ahead, caller.
All I want to say about any of it, Spears, is that we need to stop normalizing the police killing people, because there are people that go to prison with the actual sentence of a death sentence, death penalty, and they don't die for 20 to 30 years. So we need to stop normalizing the police shooting people unless it's an actual life or death threatening situation. Someone is shooting at you, etc. If someone is driving towards you, get out of the way of the car. He placed himself solely in front of that car and then cried foul.
Has anybody said why they pulled her over? What was the suspicion? What was the idea?
You haven't watched the whole video?
I've seen the whole video, but
you saw how the one vehicle went around her. Okay, the first one went around her. She was parked sort of blocking. She wasn't blocking the entire street, but she was blocking. If I were driving the same direction as her, she was blocking my lane, so I had to drive into what would be an oncoming traffic lane and go around her. There were two cars that were facing the same direction. And she had just dropped her child off at school, though, so they knew who she was. I mean, there's no question as to being able to go look at a camera, to go look at the child and be like, yes, that is Renee Good's child, and she just dropped her off. They would know where to find her. The man was walking around the car with a cell phone in one hand and pulled his gun with the other. Any person who has had any official firearm training knows you hold a gun with two hands. You don't hold it with one hand. That's what thug gangsters on the side of the road, and I don't know if people... I haven't read these comments, so I don't know, but there was a big call to action for 18 to 35-year-olds to go join ICE. So I can't help but wonder if this is one of the dudes that got recruited off the couch that didn't make it, didn't cut it for the police department or for the military, but wanted to go play cop, gather up all the illegals. Because what kind of police officer records with their cell phone and shoots with the other hand? Law enforcement. I'm sorry, I'll stop saying police because we'll say law enforcement. Shoots with one hand. Shoots someone that's driving away. I've listened to all kinds of experts over the weekends and all kinds of different channels, so it's not just one political affiliation. These are like train-to-trainer type law enforcement career people. You never, ever walk in front of a vehicle. They're even talking about traffic stops. If you've noticed, if you've been stopped, they approach you from behind. So they can see what your hands are doing. They don't walk right up and stand face-to-face with you in the window until they realize, okay, this person doesn't have a firearm or whatever. I can see their hands. And then they ask you for your identification, things like that. He was walking through the steps of the traffic process and or traffic stop and all this other stuff. You don't try to jerk somebody out of a running car unless, again, they're firing a weapon at you or something like that, or there's 10 of you. You have the vehicle surrounded, but people do not, you're not ever supposed to step in front of a moving vehicle, is what he said. He said you can block it with another vehicle, but you don't block it with a human body. Why would you put your own life at danger?
So basically the detaining her was because basically of a traffic infraction?
Because ICE said that she was impeding their work, their investigation, their whatever. And I guess they had been driving through the neighborhood, honking their horns, not just her. There was 4 or 5, maybe 10, I don't know exactly how many cars, but they were driving through neighborhoods that ICE was in and honking horns and letting them know that ICE is in the area. And they were just being jackasses to ICE. I mean, I'll say that. They were being jackasses to ICE. They didn't like the fact that they were there. First Amendment gives you the right to be a jackass as long as you're not a physical threat.
Well, and I don't think she should have pulled away like that.
She should not have.
No.
But you know what? This is something that I saw this weekend. It said you don't tell people in a free society if you would have just obeyed, you wouldn't have died. They wouldn't have died. If they would have complied, they wouldn't have died. You say that to hostages. You don't say that to people in a free society.
You know, I'll tell you something that was most interesting to me about this, and you can like him or dislike him, but he's nor a Republican or a Democrat, and has made that, because he said some nasty things about both of them, and I've interviewed him over the years. Former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, who's got a national platform because of his wrestling career, movie career, and showbiz career. So, you know, this all happened in Minnesota, and he lives in Minnesota. And he called, I don't have the quote in front of me, but when this all happened, he said, you know, Trump is a draft-dodging coward, rich boy who didn't have to go to the military, that he did have to go to the military, that we're now living in a third-world country because of the presence of police protection. And he also, and again, this is a paraphrase, so nobody take these as quotes, but you can find what he said. It's about an 8-minute video. And he said that essentially, and this is a man who's, he wrote a book at one point. I had him on when he wrote this book called The Democrips and the Rebloodlickens. So he didn't like either of them. And
they're both gangs. I agree with
right.
them.
Right. And he said, and he's won the governorship of Minnesota as an independent. But he said that at this point, he took an oath to this country to defend it against enemies, domestic
foreign
and foreign.
And domestic.
Foreign and
yes.
But he said mm-hmm. at this point, because of January 6th and what's going on in this country today, that he considers the Republican Party a domestic enemy.
I consider MAGA a domestic enemy.
Well, I think his...
I want to give you a real life experience of my own. In 2024, my family went to Mexico for Christmas. We stayed outside of Cancun, but we actually went into the city of Cancun on Christmas Day, and we were down in the beach area. And there were federales down there, because, I mean, the beach was just as full as if it would have been any other day of spring break. Well, maybe not spring break, but, I mean, it was full just like any other day. It didn't matter that it was Christmas. There were tourists there, and it was people went to the beach. There are federales, and they're on these quads, and they're carrying M4s, and they're covered up to their eyes, and they're just in their camo, and they're very much making their presence known on this beach. And my family is sitting there eating, just looking at the water and trying to enjoy the sunshine on Christmas Day. And it was very uncomfortable, you know, like, there are people with M4s right there while we're trying to eat. So let's eat and wrap this up and get back to the resort. We did, because it's uncomfortable with the military presence there. I understand why in Mexico they have a military presence like that. Maybe not so much in the tourist areas on the beach. I don't know if it was supposed to make us feel safe, but it kind of did the opposite of that. Like, hey, we're in an area where that federales with M4s need to be. Maybe we just need to drag our butts back to the resort where there are no M4s that we knew of. So we went to Memphis. Well, we went to New Orleans this year for Christmas, but we stopped in Memphis for a night and a day on our way down to break up the trip and just to explore. And the National Guard has been deployed to Memphis. And we were down on Beale Street, and it was Christmas Eve, the 23rd and the 24th, and the National Guard was there. And, I mean, they're full-on dressed, black jackets, guns. I don't think it was M4s. I think I was told they had ARs. And there I am with my son and my husband just trying to enjoy a dinner and walk up and down and see the little shops and things like that. And, I mean, there were probably maybe 150 people on the street because it was December 23rd that night. And then Christmas Eve, we walked around during the day. But they were out then, too. And it was like, this is so uncomfortable to know that there's someone right there with an AR. Am I in an area that's so unsafe that somebody needs to protect me with an AR? Or are we trying to normalize people standing in our streets and maintaining order with ARs? Because I didn't like the way it felt.
Well, I guess what...
Mexico, we're talking cartels and stuff. Memphis, Tennessee, we're talking about... There were people with toddlers out on the street, and there's people with semi-automatic rifles standing a few feet away. I don't like that. Well, you know, and law enforcement.
Yeah. Well, I guess what struck me about the Jesse Ventura comments were simply that I know this man does not like the Democrats. I know this man does not like the Republicans and never has. He's one of the few people who's won a gubernatorialship as an independent. And for him to be this down on the Republican Party at this point, I don't think he's high on the Democratic Party. I don't think he's getting ready to sign up over there.
No.
But I think he's saying, I am an... And also, here's the thing about him. And I've said I don't like conspiracy theories, but my God, he hosted a television show called Conspiracy Theory for I don't know how many years. So this is the conspiracy theory guy. This is the independent governor of Minnesota. This is the man who wrote the the book Red Blood Lickens and Democrips. This is that guy saying that he believes the Republican Party is a domestic enemy to the United States at this point because they are not asserting their power to stop what is going on, that he believes is unconstitutional.
Oh, you mean the other Republicans and not the MAGAs? Because I am...
Oh, no, I think they're included in it.
Well, I refuse to lump all Republicans together because I'd like to hold out hope that there's some out there that aren't afflicted with the MAGA. I don't... It just feels more and more cult-like because it doesn't matter what happens, they come up with an excuse for it. An American was shot in the face in the street? Okay. I'm sorry, the police are not there to determine. They aren't even supposed to kill guilty people. They can catch you murdering someone, and they're still not supposed to shoot you. That is not their role. People are just A-OK with this. They're A-OK with anything that happens. Where's their line?
I think this is too much. Listen, and I think that's the problem. I think the problem is the MAGA group is a little more outspoken about it, but does the Republican Party condemn it? I mean, they are the party in power now in the Congress and in the Senate. They could do something about it, and they don't.
Do you think they'll have power at the midterms?
I don't know. It's looking awful. But you know, another big story that's brewing right now that nobody's paying attention to, we shut this government down for a record, 40-something days back in November over Obamacare subsidies. And now there are Republican House members, defecting to where it's almost an even vote at this point to extend those subsidies. The Republicans do not have a health care plan, clearly, that they said they did. And now, because they don't, these Republican Congress people, it's almost an even vote now to extend the subsidies that the Democrats wanted to extend the subsidies for in November.
You know why? Because more Republican states receive these subsidies than Democrats. What am I supposed to call them? Democratic states?
But why did we shut the government down?
More red states receive these than blue states. How's that? And these red state politicians are now having to answer to the people that they want to help them keep them in power. The voters, that's who.
Right, there
is no electoral college in real world. They've got to actually get every single vote.
Well, I guess my question is why didn't they make that deal in November? October 31st.
That's not what Daddy Trump wanted.
Well, he doesn't want it now, but all of a sudden, they've got to change of mind.
Well, don't we have, primaries and stuff coming up shortly?
Well, I think that's true, but I also think in November, the subsidies had not expired. Now they have.
Yes. So people are actually starting to feel the pain.
But where is this Republican plan that they promised?
Didn't he promise it in 2016?
They did, but, I mean, Speaker of the House shut down the government for a record. Yeah, but the Speaker of the House shut down the government for a record amount of days, delayed the food card, delayed people's pay, things of that nature.
I was in the Speaker of the House's state, Louisiana, as a matter of fact. Louisiana is the second poorest state in the United States. The first poorest state is directly above it, Mississippi. And they are staunchly Republican states. So, I mean, do we want, are we like, oh, the Speaker of the House? I mean, he's from the second poorest state in the U.S. Is that a brag? Should we be bragging about that?
Yeah, but what are they doing? I mean, I guess
he'll do what he's told, sort of, to be relevant, because that's about the only thing he can be relevant about.
Right, but if I'm a congressman, they are not dumb people. They really aren't. To run a campaign and get elected, you cannot be that dumb. So my point is...
No, but you can also have the party infrastructure, as we found here in Marion. I mean, even on a local level.
The
party infrastructure helps, even if you're... Look at some of these people they got elected at the national level that have no business being there.
Right, but...
The dude from New York, the big fraud guy. So, I mean, that just... proves that the George Santos. There we go.
Right, but how do these political commentators even defend this at this point? They said they had a plan. They said they were going to implement this plan. They still have no plan. Now, why?
Here's the plan. We're going to invade Venezuela. We're going to get all of their oil. And then we're going to get all of their minerals, too, now. I don't know if you heard that. Because they've got a lot of precious mineral or rare earth minerals and things like that that we're also going to pillage them for. That was on the news in a direct quote from the Department of Commerce secretary. Well, Trump's in the background just going on and on and on about oil. But that's the solution to everything. And then day one will come and our grocery bills will be lower and our electric bills. My goodness. I had a neighbor open their electric bill for the month of December. And the only thing that was different was a few strings of Christmas lights and a Christmas tree. A little colder. $600.
Well,
$600.
That's a lot of dough.
That's a lot of dough.
Yep.
Hey, all the oil in Venezuela.
There we go. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me your opinion on anything we're talking about this morning. 38 minutes past the hour. Well, I guess we've covered the local political front here. Things that are going to happen tonight, as well as a bit of national politics, because people certainly are enjoying talking about what happened in Minneapolis. I, you know, what can you say? And again, I want to make the point here, I am not trying to be down on Republicans. If the Republicans presented a plan, good. Let's see what that is, and let's see if it's a better deal. If it gives people better health care, good. Who's going to object to that? But you cannot continuously be dishonest about this. Where is the honest part in this? I mean, that's all we heard while the government was shut down back in November. All we heard was that the Republicans had a plan, and if you open the government back up, they'll show you the plan. Well, that's a month and a half ago. The health care subsidies have expired as of January the 1st, and they still aren't showing anybody any plan. And now there are Republican congresspeople who are shifting and are going to vote with the Democrats to extend the Obamacare subsidies, which was why the government was shut down in the first place. So why didn't they just vote on that back in November and the government would have never been shut down? Does anybody make any sense of this? I mean, this is not a partisan issue. This is what is honest and what is not here. I mean, is there anybody who turned on a television in November who did not hear the Republican Congress say they had a plan for health care? Where's the plan? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Because if you don't know, the Obamacare subsidies expired January the 1st, 12 days ago. So you think you'd show your plan now, but yet that hasn't happened. Now, what has happened in Minnesota? I don't know. People are very angry, including the former governor, Jesse Ventura. You know, I had not heard Jesse Ventura speak of political things in quite some time. So the fact that he did that, I thought that was very interesting because I had not heard him be political in probably over a year, maybe even longer than that. He just seemingly was not speaking on political issues. I think he'd gotten back into his wrestling career and other things, entertainment career. But boy, he was speaking out on this the other day. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Oh, here's something that has nothing to do with politics. I heard that the Red Rooster finally opened up here in Marion. Now, that's out on Route 4, isn't it? We had a long discussion about this for a long time. Let's take the phone call here, and we'll come back to this. All right. Are you there, caller?
Hey, Scott. It's me.
Yeah?
I'm not on the air, am I?
You are.
Can you take me off of it?
Yep. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick commercial break here, and we'll come back with much more right after this, but we are going, let me see if I can find a thing here to play. Do we have a, let's see here, if I can find something to play quick enough here. All right, here we go. I'll be right back momentarily.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24/7 with the expert help you need, free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
All right, well, back. You know, sometimes things just pop up out of the blue. Nothing too serious there. But some people just don't like to be on the air, I guess. 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. Because I think we're involved in some serious topics here this morning, talking about what happened in Minnesota. We're talking what's going on here in Marion. And we're talking about this Red Rooster. Did it open up on, was it Route 4? I never went out and looked at the place, to be honest with you. I just heard, God, it's been years now that this Red Rooster restaurant was going to open up here in Marion, and they had a sign up and so on and so forth. And then that was kind of it. It kind of went nowhere after that. And then all of a sudden recently I heard that it had opened up. So I don't know. Does anybody know about the Red Rooster? There's a nice easy topic for you. 740-383-9944. And if you have been to the Red Rooster restaurant here in Marion, was it any good? I guess that's another question in this whole rundown we've got here. You know, by the way, if there are any former city council people, I think all three former city council people listen, and they have anything they'd like to add to this conversation tonight, you know, if you're not on city council anymore, it'd be good to hear from you, because I'd be interested to know your take on what you think's going on tonight at this 5:30 special meeting and 6:30 meeting, because, to be honest with you, who has more experience than people who have been there in the past? So I know Bill Dichtel listens from time to time. I know Jason Schauber listens from time to time. I know that Ayers Ratliff listens from time to time. Hopefully they listen all the time, but I can't confirm that. By the way, the mayor, anybody, Twyla Lang. I mean, I've heard from all of them that they listen from time to time. Call in. Transparency and discussing things are important. And just because you say it doesn't mean it's fact, by the way. If you're telling me your opinion, I mean, I'm not going to chisel it in a granite stone and hang it up on the wall. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. We've got about 12 minutes left in the program. And also, if anybody's got any news on that Red Rooster thing, I don't even know what kind of food they would serve. I'm guessing it's not rooster. Probably a chicken place, it sounds like. But I'm not even sure about that anymore. You know, Del Taco couldn't survive here in Marion, so that was quite unfortunate. And, I don't know if it wasn't unfortunate for me, because I was probably only at Del Taco a handful of times. But for the people who like Del Taco, I assume there was some unfortunateness that it had went by the wayside. Does anybody have any coming and goings as far as restaurants or businesses go here in Marion? I can't think of any others that I know of at this point. There's been a lot of talk of what's going on Route 95, or not Route 95, Delaware Avenue, here in Marion, where they've torn down the old bank. I think it was a credit union at one point, too, down here. Wasn't it where Arthur Treacher's used to be? See, I always confuse where Arthur Treacher's was and where... What was it? Where Arthur Treacher's was and where Godfather's was. Was it Godfather's? I can't remember. There was a stroll of businesses there. Arthur Treacher's, Godfather's, KFC, I think, was in that area. There was another one there. It was on the west side of the road if you were going south. There was a string of businesses there. And I don't know which spot they tore down. Go ahead, caller.
My mom worked at Hills for 150 years.
Oh, Hills.
Arthur Treacher's is where Taco Bell, is.
Okay,
Chase Bank is what just got tore down. It's okay. Across the street from where Michael's Steakhouse used to be. And right next to Chase Bank, between that and the car dealership, is where Godfather's was.
But isn't...
down and it has RVs on it now.
Haven't you heard... the big rumor that I've heard, and it is just a rumor, is that Chipotle wanted to build on the corner down there where the BP used to...
That was said in council.
Yeah.
And then they backed out after the state did what they did with the... I don't know what those traffic...
Those things in the road. Yeah.
Yeah, so they make it to where you can't turn and left into anything.
So the rumor that people keep telling me is that's where they're going to go. But I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if that's true or not. I had not heard that.
Yeah. That's only what I've heard from people, so don't take it for the gospel. But have you heard any... Is this Rooster place out on Route 4? Is that right?
I never make it that far, but it would be like a fried chicken type place is what it would be.
Right. But is that where the building is? Was it Route 4?
Yeah. It used to be a drive-thru.
Yeah.
There was a drive-thru in that area, right down in the Sims Brothers area.
Yeah. And apparently, somebody told me it was open, and I thought, boy, well, that was very little fanfare if it was.
It was like 3-year grand opening, I guess. I don't know. It's been longer than that, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it was right at the beginning of COVID is when I first started hearing stories that this sign had been put up.
Yeah, I haven't made it down that way. That stretch of road, once you get like in the McKinley Park area where the pond is, that stretch of road till down to Barks Road is awful from the semis coming and going from Sims Brothers. So just avoid it.
You know, you know what's interesting to me, as I've always said this, North Main Street, some businesses being rethought out on Delaware Avenue, you know, those areas seem to have a little bit of rejuvenation. I don't...
You know that Goodwill is building a huge structure where Hills used to be.
Yeah, and that's going to attract a lot of people to Delaware Avenue.
Mm-hmm. So that will have, and jobs also.
Right. So I don't understand why go-to spots like that can never end up downtown. Because that would help downtown.
I know that they preach this to us all the time, but parking is an issue when it comes to businesses that need a lot of quote-unquote foot traffic, because a lot of our population is older or disabled. They cannot walk a couple of blocks. I go to big cities, I park, I walk thousands and thousands of steps before I go back to the car and drive away. Other people cannot do that. This area is not set up for that. And the only thing downtown, Scott, are lawyers, doctors, the court. I mean, that's honestly all that's left. There's a couple little shops down there, but are you going to walk three blocks to go look at one single T-shirt?
Oh, and I should mention, while we're on this topic of downtown again, I did, as I said I would, send an email to Alan asking him to come on the show. Now, I did not get any kind of response, but I do want to say this. I don't know if that's because he didn't respond. I don't even know if he's still getting emails anymore at that email, because that was after the first of the year, and I'm not even sure what his position is anymore in downtown Marion. I don't know.
One valid point, someone just sent me my messenger that downtown would rather die than have Goodwill in downtown because they wouldn't want to draw.
Well, they have all those antique and thrift shops down there.
Well, there's one thrift shop and it's more towards the, well, isn't it now the old Jack's Pawn Shop? So, I mean, I don't consider that downtown. I don't care what they say. Once you get past City Hall, it's not downtown anymore. I don't even really consider that downtown, but then again, parking. If Goodwill wants to bring in the foot traffic and they have employees, where are those people going to park?
Well, parking is a problem, and you know what's funny?
There's only 20 people at a business. Well, let's say Center Street Clinic. Their parking lot stays packed constantly, and they have signs that say, don't park here if you're not coming here. Now, it's a little more eloquent than that, but it's our customer or our client parking only. So their parking lot stays packed and they see a lot of people in and out. The old Chase building is now a Ohio Health building. Their parking lot stays packed. There's a pay parking lot right on the corner of State and Center, and it is empty because you have to pay to park there, and it is notoriously empty.
Well, here's one of downtown Marion's problems, and I don't know if anybody from down there is listening. And matter of fact, I don't even know if there's a down there anymore at this point because of the defunding. But
I shouldn't laugh. It's not fun. Listen, in all seriousness, I hope that Alan has been able to figure something out so the man is not without income.
No, he's a smart fellow, and I'm sure he'll do well. But
yes, I wish him well also. I don't wish ill upon him.
Right, but here's what I don't understand about, and this is another problem. If I was downtown Marion manager, this is what I would get across to the people on that board. Not just all the problems I pointed out, because I don't want to be all doom and gloom. I also want to say, okay, here's one of the problems we have. Every time we do something like get MTC, or we open up the downtown market, or we do something like we get a new business down here, we celebrate it like the cannons are going off in town, and it's the rejuvenation of downtown Marion, and then 3 months later they move out, or the grocery store doesn't do the business they need to do, or something bad happens. When you are doing well and you are rejuvenating yourself, you don't fire the cannon off every time a new business shows up. That makes you look like you're in trouble. Did North Main Street fire the cannons off when Wendy's opened up? No. Wendy's fired the cannon off. So you gotta stop if you have to promote your businesses in downtown Marion as downtown Marion, you got a bigger problem. That's not your job. You have to tell people why to come to downtown Marion aside from the businesses. The businesses are what need to bring people there on their own in conjunction with the parties you're throwing.
And as I told the woman, the downtown business owner woman who had made the comment on social media about what a blessing downtown Marion was and all the things that it had done for her business, I said, you know, then you kicking up the $750 to help keep this dream alive is reasonable, because everything you just described is a steal for $750.
Right. Well, absolutely. And you know,
so
what I also...
talking about marketing and them doing their own marketing, let them pay downtown to market them.
Well, and something I also don't understand is the Historical Society is in the heart of downtown Marion, more or less. I don't understand why they don't treat the Historical Society and partner with them like they do with the palace.
Is the historical site, I should know this, are those buildings state-owned or county-owned?
I believe county.
Okay,
The Marion County Historical Society, I think, is county-owned.
Okay, well, I know it's county-ran. I didn't know if the buildings, and that's awful, I should know. I didn't know if they were, like, state-owned and we managed them. You know how Marion Tech manages the...
Yeah, I believe they do own the building, the county, yeah.
So I was just wondering if...
Well, not the county owns the building. I think that the Historical Society owns it.
Okay. So I don't know. Maybe they want to be seen as a separate entity than downtown? I don't know.
Well, that's
a good question.
That's another baffling thing. There are things in downtown Marion that never get the trumpet, and I never quite understand that, because they're in downtown as well. So
they're not special friends.
Well, see, and maybe that's your problem. Well, maybe that's the problem.
I've had some of those people tell me. I told you about the woman that said she owned a business, and she bought for some cookie walk or something, and there were more cookies left over than people that showed up. She bought 200 cookies or something like that. 90 people came through to get these cookies. She did $15 in sales, and her business, I don't even think, I can't remember if it didn't make it on the flyer, or there was some kind of something or another, like when the Facebook post went up, her business wasn't included, or I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't promoted along with all the other businesses. I think it was on the foot map that day, but I don't believe it was, or she wasn't thanked after it happened. I don't know. I'm not sure how that went down, but there was something that there was a social push that they were not included in.
Well, and there you go.
Money.
And there you go.
And they lost money.
And there you go. Thanks for calling. All right, tonight, the special city council meeting, 5:30. Don't forget, an hour before the regular council meeting. And then the first council meeting with the new council at 6:30 tonight. So there you go, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibb,